Well, I guess we can all go home. I don't see anybody out here that needs this sermon particularly, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, deliver it. Really struck me as I was looking around how many more people wear glasses now than what used to. I look out and, boy, there's a lot of people with glasses on now. Just struck me funny. As we get older, we all seem to get older. I have enjoyed sermons of late. I've enjoyed Larry's comments last week or week before last about enthusiasm. And I feel that we have more enthusiasm here. I don't know whether it's throughout the whole church, but I feel it here in the East Local. I'm really more than optimistic about this local. I feel really, really good about the participation, especially with younger people. I really enjoyed the sermon this morning that our brother Buzz delivered. I wish he was here. I honestly think that is the best sermon I've ever heard our brother deliver. I thought it was just fantastic. He used more props than even Tony Grinzik does, but it was a very, very excellent sermon this morning. And I'm not going to preach the same thing about saving your fork for something that is better, that's coming up that is better, and I believe it is. But what I want to preach about is what's here and now, what's taking place at this particular time, this time in which we're living. I don't want to speak about the dessert. I want to speak about the courses that we're into right now, that we're using our fork for right now. And I think that's important. I want to turn into the Book of Mormon, first of all, on page 85, and read that, starting with about the 105th verse. And after that Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they had brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Therefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments of the Lord God, which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent. For he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgressions of their parents. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would have not fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were. After that they were created, they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children. Wherefore, they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy. I've got that underlined in my Book of Mormon. No joy. For they knew no misery, doing no good, and I've got that underlined in my Book of Mormon. For they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. This was the plan from the very beginning. This was the plan, that all these things would take place. And according to him which planned all things, this also was part of his plan, that Adam fell, that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are, and I have this underlined also, all things are given to them which are expedient unto man. All things are given unto man which is expedient for them. Gifts. Gifts from the Lord, gifts of love given to you and I. You know, I'm going to reminisce a little bit, recollect way back some 28, 29 years ago when I first met my wife, met her family. Naturally, I was drawn amorously, but I was also drawn, look at that, she looked up like, oh yeah. I was. She was, and still is, quite a sweet little thing. But I was drawn, and what really stuck out is on to me is smiles. I mean, there was always a smile on her face. And there was always a smile on most all of the Nast family. Mother, father, daughters, they smiled a lot. There was a smile always there, a big grin. And I know for a fact later that their mother required that. If you can't do anything, smile. But I think it was more than that. Fact is, I know it was more than that. And I believe, I honestly believe that in that reading, if we recognize and realize the gifts, everything that is expedient for man, everything is given to us in this time for us to have happiness, why don't we have a smile on our faces? Why don't we have that enthusiasm? And as I opened up this morning, I looked out to this group, and I look at this group, and I say, well, the group I'm speaking to this evening really does have a lot of smiles in their hearts, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of joy. And I can look out amongst this group and realize that they do recognize how blessed they are right here. Not only looking forward to a time at the last judgment when we'll dwell forever with our Lord, but recognizing how blessed we are and how much we receive from the Lord right now. This evening, yesterday, tomorrow, we are blessed. We have things to smile about, things to be enthusiastic about. And it makes me feel quite good. Gifts that are good enough to smile about. Gifts that are good enough to be enthusiastic about. I want to turn into the Bible, into James. I'll start in the first chapter. In fact, I'll stay in the first chapter. And I'm going to start with the 12th verse. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my brethren. Every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits of his creatures. What does that mean to you? We are to have dominion over this earth. Dominion. We have been given dominion. All that we see, all that we have, all that we know was created for you. I mean, I want you to think about that. Everything in this earth, on this earth, was created for you that you might be a type of first fruits. Good gifts. Marvelous gifts. That was the plan. We didn't just happen in the plan. All this was created for you and given to you that you might be happy, that you might have joy, that you might know what it is to be happy. So, leads me to the next question. Are you happy? I look out and I think I see I think I see a happy people. I hope I see a happy people. And you should be. And I'm going to tell you why you should be. And it's like this. If I gathered people from wherever and gathered them to a large building, no matter whether they believed in Christ, no matter whether they kept the commandments of Christ, no matter if they'd ever heard of Christ or God, they still have received his gifts. I want you to think about that. No matter who it is, from the greatest to the least, from the best to the very worst, they have received gifts, unspeakable good gifts from the Lord, whether they belong to the Church of Christ, whether they belong and worship in Islam, whatever. They have received these same gifts in plenty. Good gifts from the Lord. They're still recipients, and you're recipients. We are recipients. Every person that has ever lived or ever will live should be a type of first fruits. Even those people that we don't think are worthy. Don't think they're worthy of these good gifts from our Father. I'm going to tell you a story. I didn't plan it. This sounds real bad. I'm going to tell a story about my oldest son. I didn't know he was going to be here. I didn't know when I wrote this it was going to follow about these vilest and evil person. It's not meant that way. But I'm going to tell you a story about my oldest son. When my oldest son, Steve, was 12 or 13. Yeah, he smiles. He knows what he was like when he was 12 or 13. He was one of the most stubborn, rebellious people I'd ever met for that time. I'd ever encountered, in fact. And there was very little reasoning with Steve at that particular age. Verbally or otherwise, I really hurt my hand on that kid a lot of times. I think I hurt him, my hand, a lot worse than I hurt him. I honestly do. I would physically try to punish him. And my hand would ache. My heart at that particular time would ache, because I didn't think I was getting through to him. It really ached. It really did, Steve. It really ached. But I tell you one thing, it didn't remove or diminish in one iota of the love that I still had for my oldest child. Not in the least. I still had that love. I still wanted to provide and give him everything I could to make life good for him, to make him happy. People will probably condemn me and say, maybe gave him too much. I don't know. But those were my decisions. They were made through the love that I had for him. Was I disappointed in him? Yeah, I was disappointed at that particular time. Is the Lord disappointed in you and I from time to time? You better believe he's disappointed with you and I, maybe more often than from time to time. But you know, he has the same love that I had for and still have for my oldest son. He still gives me the gifts, and I receive them, and I take them gladly, even though I disappoint him. Yes, he still has the same love that I had for, no, I tell you what, he has a greater love. I mean, it's those that are parents and grandparents, it's really hard for us to realize a love even greater than that. But I know there is a love greater than that. And our Father in heaven has that love. And it's just not for us. It's for everyone that was placed in the flesh upon this earth. Should we be happy knowing that we have somebody in heaven that loves us that much, that provides for us, that provides for everyone in that degree? You better believe it. Why don't we walk around with this big silly grin that impressed me so many years ago? Why aren't we walking around with that big silly grin all the time, having that knowledge that there is someone, a being, with that kind of love? A love that we can't even understand. Even for the vilest of sinners. And I tell you, in this day and age, not even throughout history, we look and say, oh, it's really bad. It's been bad for a long time. There have been horrible, horrible people in our eyes throughout history. And the Lord still provided for them. You know, we look at that and we think, boy, that doesn't seem fair. Does that seem fair? In our eyes, it doesn't seem fair. But you know, well, especially you that have several children. And children go through stages. You know, when Steve was a pill, the other two were great, you know? And when Steve got better, maybe another one was a pill. They never seemed, well, right now they're pretty good kids. But during that time when one or two were really pills and the other was good, did I love one more than, no, I didn't. I didn't love one any more than I loved the other. Our Father in heaven does not love one more than the other. He may be more disappointed from time to time in some of us than the others. But he still has that love that we can't yet understand and explain. Does he take away good gifts? No, he does not. I'm going to turn into the Book of Mormon again. Where am I going? I'm going to turn to page 92. Starting with the 30th verse, boy, I really love this. I mean, I really love this. I read this a lot. This is Nephi again speaking. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. This is Nephi speaking. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He's given him exactly what he needed. Good gifts. The gifts that he needed. He hath filled me with his love, even to the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. But behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. My voice have I sent upon high, and angels have came down and ministered unto me, and upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains, and mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men has visited me in so much mercy, given me so many gifts, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one should have place in my heart, does destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine affliction. Rejoice, rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, the rock of my salvation and the deliverer of these gifts that better give us happiness. That had better give us happiness. Because you're receiving them. You are recipients. Be happy. Don't worry. Which leads me to another question. Okay. Everyone that was ever created or will be created is receiving these gifts, these good gifts. So if they're not happy and you're not happy, whose fault is it? Okay. Is it the Lord's fault? No. No. Is it the church's fault? No. No, it's not the church's fault. If you do not feel overjoyed with those good gifts that the Lord has given you, whose fault is it? It's your fault. It's my fault. It's whoever's fault that doesn't recognize the Lord. Recognize how much we have received. How much we are receiving. If we don't recognize that, where are we placing the Lord? Not up there. We're placing him right down here on a lower level. A lower level than one who created everything. Everything. Not most of it. Everything. For one purpose. For you. Now, where are you going to place where are you going to place him? If you're not happy, if you're not happy with what you have received, where are you placing him? Somewhere lower than he should be. You think about that. Next time we start feeling sorry for ourselves and what we don't have, think about what I should have asked for count your many blessings, but that's all right. I like the songs that were picked tonight. But think about that. Everything that's ever been created was for you, to fulfill a plan for you. I want to go back to... I want to go back to James, right where I was. First chapter of James. Read a little bit of what I've already read. It says in the 16th verse, first chapter, it says, "Do not err, my brethren. Every good gift..." And that's what I've been talking about. I've been talking about good gifts, right? That he gives to everybody. He gives these good gifts to everybody. And every what? This is underlined in my Bible too. Perfect gift. I want to address that just a little bit. Every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What's that? Okay, what are the perfect gifts? And I can tell you right now, these perfect gifts don't go out to everybody. They don't go out to everybody. The good gifts do. But these perfect gifts, they're reserved. They're reserved. I want to turn into my final scripture reading. And it is in 1 John, 4th chapter. I'm going to tell you what these perfect gifts are. I'm going to tell you how come they're reserved. Starting with the 9th verse, 4th chapter, 1 John. "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is" what? "Perfected in us." Perfect gift. A perfect gift. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given to us his" what? "Spirit." That doesn't go to everyone. Only those that will receive it. Only those that will receive that gift. Okay? If you've received good gifts, and you ought to be overjoyed, overwhelmed, enthusiastic, how much more knowing that you have received the perfect gifts, the very perfect gifts. Nothing better than this. Nothing better than this. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made what? Perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect gifts. The gift of his Son, the gift of his Spirit, that we can receive those perfect gifts, that we can be like him, perfected through his Spirit, a gift of his, that we can be like his Son. Who do you emulate? Not when you were young. Who do you emulate now? Now that you're wise, who do you emulate? Jesus Christ. A gift from the Father that we can be exactly like his Son, that we can be perfected through his Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Am I happy? Is your fork ready to receive? I hope it is, because they're out there. Those gifts are ready. 7 courses. I didn't believe there could be 7 courses. There is more than that. There is more than that available. So I want you, we need to, especially this time of year, when we come into a conference, and we should come on into it with seriously, but also with great enthusiasm, great anticipation, and recognizing the gifts that we've received as individuals and as a church. And if we do that, you know what we're going to see when we pass through those doors? Lots of smiles, lots of happiness, no problems. Because we'll be that humble people that the Lord would have us to be. I want to thank you for your time. I want you to think about what I've had to say. I'd appreciate it. Next time you see me coming in a little like that, just give me a smile and tell me I need to practice what I preach. Thank you.